You know, I love to go to Hebrews chapter 11, and there that chapter in the Bible that sort of has the roll call of the heroes of faith. That chapter starts out, the first two verses, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." In fact, it says in that chapter, when it's talking about Enoch, I believe, that without faith it's impossible to please God. And in that chapter is listed some of the people that down through the ages that have exhibited faith in their God, and by that faith obtained a good report from God. Abel is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Enoch is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham and Sarah are mentioned. Isaac and Jacob, Joseph, Moses and Moses' parents, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel, Jephthah. This man whose story we read a part of tonight from Judges chapter 11 is in that roll call of the heroes of faith that's in Hebrews chapter 11. And tonight I have a real simple message, and believe it or not, I only have one point. Just one point tonight. Now, before you get excited and think, man, we're going to get out of here and we'll meet the crowd, we'll beat the crowd to Wendy's or Arby's or the Dairy Queen, wherever you're going tonight, it's going to take me a while to make that one point. And so you probably won't get out any earlier. But I want to look at what the Bible says about Jephthah, and I want to look at one, and I know there's probably more, but I just want to look at one important lesson that teaches us tonight. If you go back and you read earlier in Judges chapter 11, you'll find that his mother was a harlot, a prostitute. Bible doesn't tell us her name. It tells us that his father's name was Gilead, and that his wife bare him sons. It doesn't tell us how old that he was, but when he got to a certain age, his brothers threw him out, cast him out. And they said, "Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman." And so he had to leave home. And again, I don't know how old he was. I don't know, you know, what kind of home life he had before he was cast out. I don't know if he knew his mother. I don't know how much time that he spent, you know, with his father, with his brothers. The Bible doesn't say any of that. But I do know that in verse 3 there, it tells that he went to a land, he fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, T-O-B. And lived there. So, one of the lessons, it's not the one I want to talk about tonight, but one of the things that his story points out, it doesn't matter what our start in life is. I mean, we can have some problems in the early part of our life like he did, or we could have everything good in our life at the beginning. It doesn't matter. God can use us anyway. Again, here was a man whose mother was a harlot, who was cast out of home by his brothers, and yet you go back and you read in this same chapter in some of the verses we read, he led the nation of Israel in a mighty victory over the nation of Ammon. God used him in a great way. He was a great general, a great leader, and he led the army of God to a great victory. And so it doesn't matter how we start out in life. I will tell you, those of us who have had a good upbringing, who had a mom and dad who took us to church and taught us the Bible, made sure we were in Sunday school, are going to be held more accountable for that early upbringing than those who have struggled, maybe were an orphan, maybe didn't know their mom and dad, maybe, you know, had a rough upbringing, a rough start in life. God's going to hold us that had a good start in life more accountable. We're going to be accountable for that upbringing we had. But again, I just want to say, it doesn't matter how we started out. God can use us if we'll have the same kind of faith that Jephthah had. So he was kicked out of home by his brothers. And in verse 4 in this chapter, we read that the children of Ammon made war against the children of Israel. So they picked a fight with the people of God. And the people of God looked around and they could find nobody that they desired to lead them in the battle against Amnon. Now, if you go back and read the chapter, there were men that gathered themselves around Jephthah in this land of Tob, and he must have had some reputation because his brothers, who had earlier kicked him out, sent word to him when the nation of Ammon attacked Israel and said, hey, we want you to come home and lead us into battle. We want you to be our general. We want you to be in charge of the army. We want you to lead us into the fight. So again, just get the picture. Here was somebody that his brothers kicked out because they did not want him to inherit with them from their father. He'd been in exile for a while. Now this fight is coming, and they send word to him, we want you to come and lead the army. And he went back to him, and he said, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress? He says, I know the only reason you're calling me now is because you're in trouble. I mean, you kicked me out. Why would I want to come back? Why would I want to come back and lead you into this battle? But he did. He decided to come back and lead the army, and he asked him before he come back. Now, he said, if I come back and we win, are you going to make me your leader? Are you going to make me your king? And they said, yes, we will. If you will come back and lead our army, you will be our leader. And so Jephthah comes back. He gets ready to lead the army of God into battle, and he makes a promise to God. He makes a vow to God. He says, God, if you will help me, and if you will deliver the children of Amnon into my hand, when I get home, the first thing that comes out of my house will be yours. I will offer it as a sacrifice. And I'm sure he had in mind that when he got, you know, when God gave him the victory and when he got home, that there was a lamb that would show up, and that would be the first thing that he would see. And he could offer that lamb as a sacrifice. Or there would be a goat that would come out, or a bullock, some kind of animal that, you know, would be around the house, that when he came into his homestead, into his yard, that the first thing that he would see would be this lamb, this goat, this bullock, and he could take that animal and he could offer it up to God as a sacrifice, as a way of saying thank you for the great victory that God was going to use him to lead the nation of Israel in. And so they went to battle. And the Bible says that they won a great victory. 20 cities were defeated in this battle. And then we read in verse 34, and Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. They had heard about the victory back home. Again, this was his daughter. She was coming out to celebrate with him. And so she had a tambourine and she was dancing and she was praising God and praising her father who had that had won this great victory. And the Bible says, and she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. And so when he came home, after having made this promise to God, it wasn't the best little lamb that came out. It was his little girl. When he came home, it wasn't the best goat that came out. It was his daughter. When he came home, it wasn't the best bullock. It was his only child. And the Bible says, and it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And what Jephthah was saying is, I have made a promise to God. I have made a vow to God. And it, as much as it's going to hurt me, as much as it's going to cost me, as much as I now don't want to do it, I cannot change my mind. I cannot back up. I cannot undo my promise that I have made to God. And here's my point tonight. I mean, and you can read the rest of the chapter about what Jephthah did and his daughter and how he kept his word to God. But here's the one point I want to make tonight. When we make a promise to God, when we vow a vow to God, we need to be just like Jephthah. Regardless of how it turns out, regardless of what happens, we need to say, I have made a promise to God and I cannot go back on it. I cannot withdraw it. I cannot change it. I cannot undo it. I have made a vow unto God, and I cannot go back. And today, what this world needs is some Christians that will say that same thing. I have made a promise to my God. I have made a vow to my God. And regardless of how the circumstances have changed, regardless of how it's come out, I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to go back. I'm going to keep my promise to God. Did you ever promise God anything? Did you? Did you ever say to God, Lord, you've been so good to me. You loved me so much when you saved me that I am going to serve you to the best of my ability. Maybe serving you will be teaching a Sunday school class. Maybe serving you will be singing. Maybe serving you will be witnessing. Our service to God can take many, many forms. But you made a promise to God that to the best of your ability, you were going to serve him in some function. You were going to serve him in some way. And tonight, I want to remind you, if you've made that promise to God, don't go back on it. You might say, well, preacher, I'm a lot older now than when I made that promise. Well, was it a conditional promise when you made it? Did you say, well, I'll serve you, but when I turn 55, I'm going to retire from the service of the Lord and my service will be over? Most of us, when we promised to serve God, didn't put any age limit on it. We didn't put any timetable on it. We made a promise to serve God, and we need to say like Jephthah, I will not go back. Maybe situations have changed. Maybe you've been hurt in church. Maybe that hurt stopped you from serving God. I will remind you tonight that if you made a promise to serve your God, be like Jephthah. Don't go back. Doesn't matter if the situations change. Was your promise a situational promise? When you promised God, did you say, well, I'll promise to serve you, God, as long as no other Christian hurts me? Most of us didn't say that. No, we made a promise to serve God. We didn't care what was going to happen. We didn't set any conditions on it. We didn't set any timetable on it. We made a promise to serve God. Let's not go back on it. Maybe when we got saved, we made some promises to God about giving up some of our old habits. Maybe there's something that we said, God, I'm a Christian now, and with your help, I'm going to give this up. And I won't name any habits tonight. I don't want to, but you can think of them just as well as I can. But I'm going to give this habit up with your help. I'm going to give it up, and I'm not going to do it anymore with your help. And if you made a promise like that to God, keep it. Keep it. Don't go back. Don't say, well, preacher, you don't understand. My situation has changed. Did your promise to God, was it a situational promise? Did you say, I'll give this thing up as long as nothing changes? And again, most of us didn't. We made some promises to God that those old habits that we had in our life before we got saved, we made some promises to God, I will give them up. We need to say like Jephthah, I have opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot go back. I will not go back. Maybe you made a promise to the Lord to tithe 10% of the gross. Lord, I'll give it to you. Just like Jacob said, I'll give it to you. I'll be faithful and give it to you. And when we were making $30 a week, it was real easy to take three and put it in the offering plate and keep our promises to God. Now we're making $300 a week. It's a little bit harder to take that 30. Some of you are making maybe $3,000 a week, and it's a little bit harder to take that 300. Some of you may be making more than that. And you know, the more you make, the bigger the 10% is. And we might want to welsh on our promise a little bit. Well, you know, church is doing all right. God doesn't need that money. I need it more than God. I'll just not keep my promise. And tonight, again, just one simple point. If you have made a promise to God, it probably wasn't a situational promise. It probably wasn't a conditional promise. It probably was not a promise that had a timetable attached to it. We need to say, like Jephthah, I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Maybe you made a promise to God. Said, Lord, I love your church, and every time the doors open, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there for Sunday school. I'm going to be there for church in the morning, just like Harry was testifying a moment ago. Church at night and on Wednesday night. I'm going to be faithful to your house. And when you started out, you were there. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And if you made that promise to God, doesn't matter what's changed. It doesn't matter how much older you are. You need to say like Jephthah. I need to say like Jephthah. I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Now, most of you tonight, you would say, if you haven't said it, amen. If I have made a promise to God, I need to keep it. But I want to stretch your thinking a little bit tonight. And I don't think it's a stretch of the application of the scripture that I'm about to say. Jesus told us, in that we have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. He said the reverse. In that you've not done it unto the one of these, the least of these my brethren, you've not done it unto me. So I want to expand my point a little bit. I want to point out to you that, yeah, when we make a promise to God, we need to be like Jephthah and say, I will not go back. I'll keep my promise. But I submit to you tonight that the promises that we make to one another are promises that we make to God. And when we make a promise, and I know some of you are thinking, preacher, why are you preaching about keeping promises? I mean, that's about as basic as ABC. One and one is two. And you know, Washington, D.C. is the capital of the United States of America. Why are you preaching about this basic thing? Because, and I'll just tell you why. I'll just stop for a second and tell you why. Sometimes we as Christians need to be reminded of the basis of our faith. We need to be reminded that a people of faith are a people that keep their promises. Not only keep their promises to God, but keep their promises to each other, because when we make them to each other, we are in a sense making them to God. Many of you have made this promise to somebody. You've stood at an altar. You've stood in the justice of the peace. And somebody has said this. Do you promise before God and these witnesses that you will love, comfort, honor, and keep her to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto her as long as you both shall live. And you, sir, said, I do. And you, ma'am, said, I do. I'll remind you tonight that your promise was not just to your spouse. Your promise was to God. It was to God. And we need to be like Jephthah. I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. I cannot go back. I've got to keep my promise. Now, I know things happen to marriages, and in some cases, you know, divorces just can't be helped. And whenever I preach like this, I always tell people, I can't undo what's happened in the past, but I can help you work on what's the marriage that you're in now. The promises that you made to your husband and to your wife now. And so I'll remind you tonight, when you stood at that altar, you stood before that justice of the peace, and you made a promise to love and honor and to care for your spouse, that promise was made before God and to God. And we need to say like Jephthah, I have opened my mouth and I will not, I cannot go back. Let me mention another one. The promises that we make to our children. Sometimes we make promises to our children without thinking about what we're saying. And there's a verse in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. As I've studied this verse, I don't think it's talking just about the promises that we make to our kids. But whenever I read it, as I come across it in my Bible readings, it always reminds me of promises that we make to our children and sometimes don't keep. That verse says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. So I make a promise to my child, and that child has hope. Hey, Dad has promised me this. I know that it's coming. I have a hope that it's coming. And then when we defer that, in other words, when we don't keep that promise, and that child has to defer that hope, the Bible says it makes the heart sick. But, verse goes on, when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. When the desire is met, when the promise is kept, it is a tree of life. And I've always reminded, you see, our children learn about God from us. Many of the things, the attributes of God that they learn about, they learn as they watch their parents. And I wonder what kind of picture we're painting of God when we promise our children things and we don't keep those promises. I wonder what they're going to think about the promises that God makes. You see, we have a God that has never broken a promise. We have a God, because he is God, cannot break a promise. If our God broke a promise, he would not be God. And he has never, will, never, can, for all eternity, broken a promise. And we as parents need to be careful about what we promise our children. Better not to promise than to make it and not keep it. And I know there's certain circumstances that happen where we can't keep every one of them. But so many times we make promises without thinking about them, and we don't think about the impact on our children. And so I would remind you tonight, if we've made a promise to our children, and again, I'm not just talking about the little ones, although I think it hurts the little ones more than it does the big ones. I'm talking about, regardless of how old they are, if we made a promise, we need to say like Jephthah, I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. I cannot go back. And then we need to keep our promises to others. Others. Not just our spouse. That's just our children. But to others. Do you know paying your bills is keeping a promise? Paying your bills is keeping a promise. So I got this little plastic thing in my wallet. Okay? I went and I used it this afternoon. Somebody donated some money, and we're going to get a second stove in the kitchen. It's supposed to be delivered on Tuesday, and hopefully we'll have it hooked up before Sunday. So Laura will have two ovens and eight burners to cook on for Father's Day and all the other things that we got coming up. We should expect double her output from now on, right? And we'll double her salary. Two times nothing is nothing. But anyhow, I use this little plastic thing, and I charge $400 and some. I made a promise to Gilroy's. The promise that I made was that when you send me the bill, I will pay the $400 and some. They're going to deliver the stove till Tuesday. I probably won't pay the money for almost a month because that's when my cycle comes up. But I made a promise. I need to keep that promise to Gilroy's. We need to keep our promise when we charge something that we will pay our bills. And let me just say it, and I don't mean to be mean tonight, but if you charge something and have no plan to pay for it, you're a crook. Right, Junior? Amen. That's right. If you buy something and have no earthly idea how you're going to pay for it, you are just out and out a crook. You know, I hear these advertisements on the radio. Bankruptcy is a right guaranteed by the Constitution. And I've got me a copy of the Constitution at home. I'm going to read it and see if that is true. Now, again, I don't know of anybody tonight that's gone through bankruptcy, so I'm not preaching at you. Just listen for a minute. Bankruptcy may be the law of the land, but I think if you charge something, you ought to pay for it. I don't care how long it takes you. I don't care if you have to go through bankruptcy to put off the payment for a while, but eventually you ought to pay for it because you have made a promise to somebody when you took their goods that you were going to pay them for those goods. And we need to be like Jephthah and say, and by the way, in that I've done that to the least of his brethren, I've done it unto him. And when we don't pay for something that we bought, what we're saying to God is, I got to go back on my word. Got to go back on my vow. So we need to pay our bills. That's a promise that we need to keep. I got one more, almost 7 o'clock. And I usually when I say I only got one point and I'll be done early, that's Mark, I end up preaching until 7:30 and everybody's mad at me. But one more. You go to work for somebody. You've made a promise. I'll work for the pay. You pay me, I'll work. You make a promise. Make a promise. Now, again, I believe that when you go to work somebody, you ought to work. You ought to do what you've agreed to do. I know there's a lot of situations where you may not like your boss, you may not like your job, you may not like your environment, but you made a promise. The promise was that if somebody paid you, you would work. And I know, I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd tonight. I know that. Sometimes the Sunday night crowd needs to be reminded what this book is all about. This book is all about keeping promises. Because of God of this book never broke a promise. He made a promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad he didn't break that promise. He made a promise. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm glad God will never break that promise. I'm glad we got the promise that we talked about this morning. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I'm glad God doesn't break his promises. I'm glad I can depend on my God to keep every one of his promises. And my point tonight is when we make a promise to him, or we make a promise to each other, regardless of what it costs, regardless of how the circumstances change. I'm sure Jephthah had no idea when he made this vow to God, it's going to be my little girl that comes out of the door. It's going to be my daughter. It's going to be my only child. And I'm sure he wanted to say, God, I know what I promised, but I can't keep this promise. I can't do it. But he said, I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And we need some Christian men and women and teenagers and kids that will say that same thing. I've opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Now listen, if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, there's some precious promises in this book that tell us if we'll call on Christ, he'll save us. If you're here tonight and you've never done that, you're a sinner. This Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All our righteousnesses in God's sight are as filthy rags. Tells us the wages of sin is death, separation from God forever and ever and ever. But it also tells us that God proved or commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then it makes us that promise, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're here tonight and you've never called upon Christ to save you, you need to do it tonight. God will keep his promise. You don't have to worry about that. He keeps every one of them. Always has, always will. And tonight, if you've never called upon him, would you? In just a second, we're going to stand, we're going to sing. I invite you to come down. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, just come down the aisle. I'll have somebody take this book and show you from this book how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's stand together, heads bowed. Adam will come, and let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises that are in this book. I pray, Father, if there's one here tonight that doesn't know Jesus, they claim the promises and they come and ask him to save them. Most of us are Christians here tonight. Father, help us to be like Jephthah. The Bible says by his faith he obtained a good report. Help us to have the same kind of faith that would say, I've opened my mouth unto the Lord and I cannot go back. I cannot go back. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Use it as you see fit. Help us to be obedient as you lead us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.